Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay. I think I've heard this one before.
Man, I have. That's nice.
It's all right.
That's running treadmill music.
Welcome back, Bay Area 95.7, The Game. Alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson, I am Zachariah, coming up at 4:45. Shall we get into a little bit more of this coaching talk, and then we'll move on to other stuff. We're going to do basketball right now. And if our guest, Jason Jones, right here,
the man,
gives us something fantastic.
I follow him on Twitter.
Then maybe we'll talk about that. But there's one more item of this coaching search, this thing that I've been talking about for a while that I want to get back into you with, because now all of a sudden you're hearing a different tone out of all the people covering the 49ers.
Well, that's how it goes.
Trent Baalke. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. Right now, Jason Jones, Kings NBA writer for the Sag B. You can follow him on Twitter at Mr_Jason Jones. He joins us now. Jason, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
No complaints over here. Getting ready for this game. Kings Warriors tonight. Jason, for a team like the Kings, who, if the season ended today, they would be in the playoffs despite having a sub-500 record. For a team like that that's up and coming, obviously a lot of weird, odd sort of pieces that you got up there in the state capitol. But for a team like that going against the world champs who have only lost two games up to this point, how big of a game is it? How much more do you expect the crowd and the team and the coaching staff to get up for this game versus a random game, say, against the Pelicans?
They should get their best from them this time, because the way the Kings' personality has kind of been this season is that when you see a team with a record like theirs or worse, they'll have these just almost random stretches of the game where they almost seem like they don't even care. But, I mean, I think tonight they'll be ready to go. The way they look at it is that in the three games they've played them, they played the Warriors in the last game almost even for 2.5 quarters, and the market gets tossed out, and then everything goes haywire. The first game in Sacramento, they played them. That game was pretty tight until, you know, late in the third, early in the fourth. So they kind of feel like they can play with, you know, if they play well, they should at least be in the game, and they'll have a chance. I mean, if the market can stay on the court, I mean, the market had 3 fouls in about 5 minutes the last time we were in Oakland. So he really hasn't played the Warriors this season.
Jason, I get to a lot of King games. Also, I catch him on the NBA League Pass. But speaking of Big Cuz, to me, he's the best big man in the game. And going back to the last game in Oakland, me personally, I thought he let his team down. I thought it was immature. But I was watching it with my dad, and he said, you know who Cousins reminds me of is Debo from Friday, almost to the point to where the coaching staff and ownership – you know, I watch Vlade. He looks frustrated. But my question to you is, do you think Cousins is getting a pass, or do they need to, you know, get to the point to where he can't just do things and let his team down, because he's a hell of a player. He's hitting the threes now. But do you think they're scared to talk to him or even fine or suspend him when it comes to his transgressions when he's out of line?
I think in a lot of ways we're past the whole, in essence, giving him a pass, because they've done, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, if you want to say that happened, or so plenty already. And depending on who you talk to run the organization, some people kind of almost feel like DeMarcus in a lot of ways runs that team. And, you know, in DeMarcus' eyes, he clearly doesn't, because if DeMarcus ran the team, Michael Malone would still be his coach. So there's a lot of just a lot of kind of give and take. And I think Vlade, you know, coming in, probably the big incident this season, so to speak, would be when George wouldn't suspend DeMarcus kind of for that outburst back in November, and Vlade said no. So it's almost like, well, what can I do with him? You know, maybe George was over the line trying to suspend him for that. It's kind of one of those things where in a lot of ways DeMarcus gets caught up in the power struggle, and because Vlade wants to keep him, Vivek wants to keep him, you know, in a lot of ways, DeMarcus is going to win by default. So I just think what they really need is you got to have some guys around him who will give it to him straight. That's what DeMarcus responds to best. You can't sugarcoat things with him. You can't, you know, dance around it. You got to give it to him straight on and tell him, this is what it is. And I think Rondo's kind of that guy in his ear right now. So you got to have guys like that around that he'll respect to kind of get everything out of him.
Jason Jones joins us, Kings NBA writer for the Sac Bee. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah here on 95.7. The game. Jason, what do you make of Rajon Rondo? I saw an incredible stat of him having double-doubles with 15-plus assists. I believe he has close to 10, and the next closest person is only at 3 or something like that. He signed a one-year deal. Obviously, he's kind of a malcontent, a little bit like DeMarcus Cousins, which makes the whole dynamic of that team up there in Sacramento a little bit odd. But how has Rajon Rondo been fitting in, getting along with Coach Carl and the rest of his teammates?
He's been getting along great. I mean, he's, you know, outside of the incident with the referee, I mean, there's been no problems with Rondo at all. In a lot of ways, Rondo's the coach because George gives his point guard so much freedom to kind of say, basically do whatever he wants to do during the game. Rondo can pretty much, you know, does what he wants in a negative way, like he's out there just calling plays for himself. But Rondo directs everything out there on offense. So, everyone gets along with him great. Probably the biggest adjustment for the players, especially DeMarcus and Rudy, is that those are two guys who excelled because they had a lot of plays run for them. Now the way things are, it's kind of a free-flowing, let's see how things go type thing, especially as a big guy, or in Rudy's case, as a four-man smaller lineup, they're not used to having to kind of just find their game within the flow of the offense. So a lot of them, they have to really lean on Rondo for that. But generally, everyone likes Rondo.
Jason, let's talk the two-guard position for the Kings, Ben McLemore. I mean, the guy has, to me, the total package. And every time I feel like the light's on, he's about to, take off, it's a couple steps back. How's organization looking at the two-guard position for the Kings? Because they got a rich tradition of two guards that can get to the rack and sustain success. Do you think that's something they may try to fix?
Oh, they've been trying to upgrade two guards since the offseason. I mean, that's the reason why they went after Wesley Matthews. That's why there was talk of Monte Ellis. They see that as a glaring issue with their team. And I think with Ben, the big issue with Ben is honestly just the confidence. I mean, in a lot of ways, he was, in essence, almost the whipping boy. You know, whenever things go wrong, you look at Ben first. And because they want to play Marco Bellinelli so much, even when Ben plays well, Ben's not going to play in a whole lot of minutes. So he's got to kind of do what he does or what he can in the limited minutes. And a lot of times, like, Ben's almost playing scared. He's so afraid of making a mistake, he doesn't do what he can do. And a guy that athletic, 6'5", who can run the way he does, I always tell people, there's no way I should watch a game and not know that Ben McLemore played. And a lot of games you watch, you don't know Ben McLemore even played.
Moving into the new arena next year, how much do you see that having an effect on the team, both getting free agents, what they're going to do in terms of re-signing guys that they have, the draft, the front office, all that stuff? How much is having a new arena down there in downtown Sac going to affect the team?
I'm not sure if it helps there with free agents and things like that. I think it helps more for the city. In a lot of ways, a lot of people in Sacramento haven't seen a lot of other arenas, so they don't really know how bad their arena is. So I think once they see a state-of-the-art facility and how that whole thing can come together, and they look around and see, wow, we do have, seats that aren't broken, the floor is nice, that would help everything. And some of the players kind of wonder, though, are they going to lose their home court advantage? Because the way, Sleep Train, the way it's set up, the fans are almost right on top of you. So they're trying to kind of keep that same feel to it. So I think that's kind of the tricky part. But I think as far as, free agents and things like that, I think winning's going to be the big thing for them. Obviously, the improved facilities will help. But I think, we saw in the past offseason, Greg Monroe turned down L.A. and New York to go to Milwaukee. So if a guy has a chance at winning, I think he's going to go somewhere where he's going to have a chance to win. Obviously, that's not working out for Greg right now. But I think if you have a good setup, you can get guys.
Jason, real quick, I tend to get overly dramatic, so bear with me on this one. I was watching the Dallas Maverick Sacramento King game. Kings were up 9 with a minute 14, somewhat change left. Gave the wife the remote because I knew it was over. I switched back, and they lost by 1. I couldn't believe it. Then I'm watching the Laker game. They're up 26. Lakers almost came back, and here's where I'm going to get dramatic. Had they blown that game to L.A. at home, do you think all hell would have broke loose, or would that have been something – just another close loss. This team doesn't know how to close. We can just keep look forward to the next game.
Oh, no. It would have been all hell breaking loose. The way this team seems to go so up and down from wins to losses. No, there's no way. You blow a 27-point lead at home to a team that's at the bottom of the standings, plus it's the Lakers. Oh, it would have been pretty ugly. I mean, they would have probably been booed off the floor. Yeah, it would have been bad. Remember, they already lost to the Sixers at home. And they already lost to Portland without Damian Lillard. So that just would have been probably worse than the Philly loss, I think, just because of how big a lead they had. And then if they fall apart that way, that would have been pretty awful.
Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most shocked you could possibly be, what would you be if the Kings beat the Warriors tonight?
With these guys, how about a 5?
Really?
Oh, wow, okay.
I mean, just because of the way the Kings are, that they have this ability at times to go out and just shoot the lights out. They do that. They can play with anybody. But on the other hand, I've seen with them, they can also lose to anybody. So if they were to come out and somehow pull this off, you know, say DeMarcus goes for 30 and 15, 30 and 20, which is very possible, you know, it wouldn't completely blow me away. You know, just because I've been on this team so much and I kind of have an idea how they're wired. They're going to be really ready for this game.
You a Cal grad? I just got hit up on Twitter saying 2 Cal Bears connect. You a Cal grad?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so am I. Go Bears. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Jason Jones, Kings NBA writer for the Sac Bee. Follow him on Twitter at Mr._Jason Jones. Enjoy the game, Jason.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
There you go, Jason Jones.
He said 5. And real quick, they were winning when Cousins
saying the
went
game's
out.
A coin flip?
They were winning in Oakland.
I know that. Before,
oh, you know, look yeah. at you. You just, that don't tickle your.
No.
I won't say pickle because I don't like that.
Pickle's
whole,
not tickle.
No, tickle your fancy.
Whatever.
I don't do that.
5 out of 10? That's like saying the game's
they
a coin flip.
They were winning when Cousins went out.
Okay. Dubs are going to win
Seth
by
Curry
dub.
Tonight.
Dubs will win by dub. All right, coming up next, your phone calls, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. We have our first playoff NFL game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.